Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, does Tom Brady really hate being called the GOAT? Plus, Chris Broussard explains why there's no way Anthony Davis will be a Laker by the trade deadline. And LaVar Ball is at it again. Wait until you hear what he has to say. We've got a busy show today. Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
Sorry, Shannon, we gotta do it. So, Brady, already considered to be, by many, the GOAT. And that was before the Super Bowl, but after winning his NFL record 6th ring, it's basically a lock. However, that term doesn't necessarily sit well with Tom Brady. Let's hear what he had to say about it.
People, myself included, call you the GOAT. You know what the GOAT, greatest of all time.
I don't even like that. I don't even like it. It makes me cringe. It makes me cringe.
Really?
It makes me cringe. I guess I take compliments worse than I wish you would say you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm
gonna go prove you wrong. You're driven by criticism more than you're driven by success.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Shannon, what do you make of this?
This is what irks me. This is what ticks me off about Tom Brady.
What?
Tom Brady's full of caca. So let me get this right.
Caca.
I just want to make sure I'm correctly. Tom Brady said it makes him cringe when someone calls him the GOAT. But the week leading up to Kansas City, he walks into the locker room and says, I'm the baddest mofo on the planet. You see what's happening here.
Well, time out. That's not equal to GOAT. That's not equal.
If I'm the baddest mofo on the planet, what am I? What am I?
Okay. He said it to nobody. He didn't want it reported.
It
was reported by NFL Network.
It's not your turn.
Did he say it publicly? Did he say it publicly?
It's not your turn.
No. He did not say it publicly.
It's my turn. Let me finish. And therein lies the thing, Jenny.
Okay.
Here's the rub. It's his public persona that he wants you to think that he's humble.
Mm-mm.
Oh, stop. It's
Mm-mm.
not your turn. Mm-mm. You're out of line. You're out of line, Mr. Bayless.
He's not out of line.
Yes.
You're
it's
yelling.
My turn. It's my turn, Skip.
Okay.
The public persona that Tom Brady is golly gee with, he's so humble, he's so unassuming. Mm-mm. You spend your entire life working the way he eats, the way he trains, to say I'm just a guy? Come on, Jenny. You are an athlete. Everybody wants to be the best.
Yeah.
And what he's trying to do is to try to sway the public that Tom, even though he's great, he's just so unassuming. Bull. I call bull. You call bull. You know he.
I don't call bull. So, I call bull on everything you just said.
Yeah, like Michael Jordan doesn't want to be called the GOAT. And you just keep telling me, because here's the thing. Behind closed doors is one way, but public he wants to be viewed as another way. It's bull. And you know what? Had I not been a professional athlete, never going to say I've ever been close to as great as Tom Brady is, but I've been a lot of great athletes that were equal to, and every last one of them had that gene. I'm it.
You were never around anybody who was equal to. That's offensive. Nobody you were around equal to.
So Michael Jordan?
Well, you were around? Did you play with him?
No,
thought you meant you played football. Did you play in the NBA?
Did you play with Tom Brady?
I didn't know that.
Did you play with Tom Brady?
No,
I
just know.
No, okay,
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
You just said you've been around and played with.
No, I did not.
The only one I know is John Elway, who is not in Tom Brady's conversation.
That's not what I said.
I'm sorry he's not.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I said I played the game and I've been around. I have. You took it out of context.
Okay.
You didn't play with Tom.
No, but I've been around Michael Jordan a whole lot more than you have. A whole lot more.
Okay.
A whole lot more.
Now make your point.
My point is this. I get weary talking to you about this because, as you always say, the world is divided between people who are going to say this and this. And the world on Tom Brady is divided between the few who get him and the many who just hate him for whatever reason. And they're blinded by their Brady hate and they will never get it no matter what I say. And I'm about to just give up trying to convince everybody. But this is the God's truth about this guy, Tom Brady. He is Michael Jordan in sheep's clothing, and it's misleading to most people because he is a cold-blooded assassin with the biggest chip in the world on his shoulder, disguised as the nerdy, corny dad down the street who keeps shrugging and saying, Aw shucks, gee whiz, to a fault. And it just drives you crazy because he's...
Because I know he's lying. Okay,
he's hiding behind that persona. But in the end, it's not fake humility. He just doesn't want to be goated yet. He can't stand. He said, I cringe when I hear that. Shannon, I've told you from the start, and I will be so right about this, he's not finished yet. He's not even thinking about being finished.
That's not the point.
Four years more he wants to play. He can't accept the GOAT mantle because he doesn't want to rest on his laurels.
Okay, if that's...
He's just like, that was the Michael Jordan in him speaking. Did Michael Jordan want to be goated before he left Chicago? No. He needed to look for every little way, shape, and form to get even with people.
That's not what he said.
What was Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech that you hated? What did he do?
No, Skip.
He just destroyed everybody who doubted him.
No.
Yes.
But what did he say in 92? Mm. What did Magic say? Michael Jordan said, I'm the best. This is my NBA league. Mm. He said that to Michael Magic Johnson. He said it to Larry Bird. So he humble now?
Every day I covered Michael Jordan, he looked for another fight to pick with somebody for no reason. I told you the story. They're playing New Jersey, and Calipari is on the sideline, and Michael went off on them at New Jersey one Friday night, and I just sat there in awe, and Michael is pointing at Calipari, and I'm thinking, he doesn't even know Calipari. So I go to Michael after the game. What's going on? He said, I don't know. I just don't like the way he acts. I don't like the way he walks up and down the side. I said, well, you don't like the way he walks? No, he struts up and down the sideline, and I wanted to put him in his play. You wanted to put that little guy in his play? Nobody even knew who Calipari was at this point.
Okay, Skip. He hates the fact of being called a GOAT, but he walks into a locker room and said he's the baddest mofo. What is that?
That's Jordan all over again. That's who he is.
Jenny!
Did he say it publicly? No!
That's my problem!
No. He doesn't want anybody to tell him he's the GOAT. No, you're not getting it. You don't understand. He needs Chip on shoulder. He needs Shannon Sharp to keep saying, he's too old. What did I hear the whole year from Shannon Sharp? He's too old. He's lost his nerve. He's lost his velocity. He's lost his accuracy. And what did he do to you? He just stuck it right down your throat. Did you see him against the Chargers? Did you see him at Kansas City? Did you see him in that drive in the Super Bowl?
Oh, so you said one drive.
Okay, you know what he wants to do?
You see what you did?
You know, no. It's my turn.
You took the whole time. Can I get a rebuttal?
No, you can't do this. So Michael Jordan, I mean, Tom Brady, who is Michael Jordan, Tom Brady wants to be able to tell the crowd at the rally before he gets on the plane to the Super Bowl, we're still here. We're still here. If you goad him, you can't say we're still here because then you've acknowledged he's the greatest. He doesn't want to be acknowledged yet. Okay. He wants you to doubt him. He needs to be fueled by Shannon Sharp. And you got to keep, I need you to keep ripping him because you're going to rip him all the way to three more Super Bowls. That's what's going to happen.
That doesn't change it.
Yeah,
see, because you make my argument for me. You keep saying he's saying that privately. And that's my point. He thinks that
plays
privately.
Like that. You can see it when he walks on the field. You can see he's the baddest MF on the planet.
Yeah,
when he,
you're making
how was
my
he?
Argument.
Because it's the public
he's trying to convince that he's humble, and that's not the way he thinks.
He doesn't want Strahan to say, you're the GOAT. And he's like, I cringe. He doesn't want to stop. If he had just retired, he would accept that.
So in other words, if you're playing,
Shannon,
if you're playing, so hold on.
Shannon, he's only just begun.
Skip, that's not the question.
No.
That's not the issue.
You
he can play 10 years.
You don't get it. You don't understand the psyche because you can't see through the package. There's something about the package that offends you, and I get it. That's
nothing
fine.
About the package offends me. What offends me is when he insults my intelligence, when he says one thing privately, and he tries to display this publicly. That's my problem. Stop lying.
It's
and
not,
that's the problem a lot of people
fake
have.
It's humility.
Yes, it is.
It's fear. He doesn't need the public to endorse him. He endorses himself. He was the one who said, I'm still the baddest MF on the planet.
So why did he say
that? Saying.
Why did he say
what?
That?
Because he believes it. 1,000. No, yeah. No. Wait a second. Did he not? What? Shannon Sharp, did he not look like the baddest MF to you? What did he look like against the Chargers? Wait a second. Did you pick the Chargers? Yes. Did you pick the Chiefs? Yes. Did you pick the Rams? Yes. Did most of the world pick those teams to win? Yes.
Skip,
and he loved it. He needs it.
I don't get how that.
He needs it.
I don't get how.
You'll pick against him again next year.
But I don't get how that comes into play in this argument.
He needs it. It's Jordan-esque. It's exactly what Jordan did.
Whether or not you pick against someone has
nothing to do. Jordan never wanted to be called the GOAT. He never wanted to be called it.
Skip, stop it.
If you challenge him privately, he'd say, yeah, I'm the best player. Sure he was.
So what did... That's what the greats normally do. And the problem that a lot of people have with LeBron in that they've said this...
LeBron has to keep telling you he's the GOAT.
I got no problem with that. He thinks that privately. He'll say it publicly. The others...
Sorry. I don't believe he believes that. He's just trying to convince the blind witnesses of it.
You see what you did?
That's my take.
Okay,
that's my take. You don't believe Brady.
I don't believe
LeBron.
You don't get it.
You really think that LeBron James thinks he's better than Jordan? He does not. He just does not.
I believe he does.
Do I think Brady thinks he's better than Jordan? Yes, I do.
Oh, is he?
No, I do.
Well, because he has 6 rings.
Yeah.
When Jordan, hold on. How can you be Brady when you got defeats in the biggest game? Jordan got no defeats.
How about, you know what? You admitted
That's not what I mean. I'm talking about what you said. You said that's the de facto.
You said last Thursday that Tom Brady has been more clutch than Michael Jordan because he's had way more opportunities to be clutch. And he had another one Sunday night in Atlanta, and he did it again.
This is not about what I said. You said the gold standard is no defeats in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. No defeats in NBA Finals. He's 6-0. So how can he be better? I'm asking you. That's your argument. That's not mine.
The gold standard is 6 rings with 6 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter.
I thought the objective was to be 6-0. Yeah. 6-for-6. That's what you told me, Skip.
Jordan never played a Game 7. And what did the great Shannon Sharp tell me? Oh, well, it's like Tom Brady's played Game 7 every time.
Skip.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what you said. Mm. Your argument is LeBron James can't be the GOAT because he suffered defeat. Mm. So how can Tom Brady? I'm asking you to use your argument against you. It's not what I said.
But at least, you know, at least Brady's 6-3 versus 3-6.
What about
3-6?
This is not a LeBron. Okay. This is not a LeBron Brady. Well, all I'm saying, Skip, be who you are. Mm. You can't say
he's
I'm
being
the best.
Exactly
no,
who
he's
is.
Not. Yeah. No, he's not.
You'll never get him, and it will be the death of you because you're going to keep doing it, and you're actually just playing right into his hands.
No,
I appreciate
Skip,
it.
I'm not
I love you for
Skip,
this.
I'm not playing. I'm not playing in anybody's hand. But all I'm saying is that what he's trying to do privately is to hold on to a public persona.
Okay, I need you to keep hating him.
Hate
as publicly as possible. He needs it badly.
Well, he's driven by failure, and he made that clear to Michael Strahan in that interview.
Thank you. I appreciate you for this. And I need it all next year and the next year and the next year.
He's full of it, and the people that believe is full of it.
Thank you for saying that. No mercy.
Hey guys, it's Jenny Taft. Here is a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including many of the world's most popular self-improvement shows, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and even how to feel balanced while meditating. Even if you're also obsessing over when the cat was last fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone a little off the grid, you know, to get all that newfound balance into your life. So get the year off right and start listening to podcasts on Spotify. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. The Rams averaged nearly 33 points a game in the regular season, but the Patriots held them to a season-low 3 points in the Super Bowl. The defense sacked Jared Goff 4 times and forced an interception late in the game. But despite that, no Patriots defensive players received a vote for Super Bowl MVP. Julian Edelman won the award, but he was not a unanimous pick by the voters. Shannon, are you surprised that no defensive player got a vote?
I'm shocked. And this is appalling. Skip, this was a historic defensive performance. They held the team that scored the second most points and averaged the second most yards to 30 points below their average. And I believe in a situation like this, Skip, when you're dealing with a historic performance, especially from the defensive side of a game like this, someone from that side of the ball needs to be the MVP. Skip, and I just went back 20 years, and I just started with 2000. Super Bowl 35, the Ravens, they gave up 0 points on defense. They ran the kickoff back, but the Ravens' defense gave up 0 points. Ray Lewis is the MVP. Super Bowl 37, Dexter Jackson. The Raiders had the MVP, led the league in scoring, and the number one offense.
Okay.
Super Bowl 48, Peyton Manning was the league's MVP. Mm-hmm. 55 touchdowns, 5,400 yards, 8 points. Malcolm Smith, MVP. Von Miller, Cam Newton was the MVP. Led the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. Held him to 10 points. Von Miller had a historic Super Bowl.
That might have been the all-time.
Yes.
Yep.
So, but Stephon Gilmore, Skip, mm-hmm. 5 tackles, yep. An interception, a forced fumble, mm-hmm. 3 pass breakups. Skip, given that the – and I can see if they – say the score was 33-3.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or the offense, you know, but Skip, the Patriots' offense was 14 points less than what they averaged in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And you said all year, they bend, but they don't break. They bend and don't break. 3 points in this game against that offense? Mm. Skip, it's got to go to a defensive player. Stephon Gilmore would have been first for me. The number two guy would have been Dante Hightower.
Yeah.
Because you remember, Skip, in Super Bowl, 51, he was his play that turned the game. The sack, forced fumble on Matt Ryan. He missed last year with the knee injury. He came back and picked right up where he left off. Mm-hmm. 2 sacks and a pass breakup. He would have been number two. But for no defensive player, Skip, mm-hmm. to get any votes, Skip, you know that's unacceptable. You know mm-hmm. that.
I don't. I agree with your premise that the defense deserves some consideration, but it was the defense as a whole
okay.
for once.
True.
There was no breakout performance that I could see. Even Stephon Gilmore, to me, he took Brandon Cook's man most of the game.
Yes.
I don't know. Could we do 3/4 of the game?
Yeah, probably.
Because the
yeah.
one that Brandon Cook's got open on the back line of the end zone
yeah.
that pass
was zone.
Hung, I'm pretty sure it was zone unless he completely blew it, but he wouldn't blow it that bad, right?
No.
So what did Brandon Cooks do for the game? He caught 8 balls for 120 yards. You can say some were late, but the game was still close.
Yeah, but Skip, okay? But the game was a 10-point game with less than a minute. So he caught two, three balls on that final drive.
Okay, but on the play before the fateful interception play, Brandon Cooks beat him to the goal line. And the ball was on the money, and I still think Brandon Cooks should have held on anyway. But Stephon Gilmore reached and interfered
right.
with him. And you agreed with that.
Yeah,
that was
he arm-barred him.
He arm-barred him. And yet the ball still hit Brandon Cooks right in the chest. And you just got to hang on to that
right.
football. And if you do, then with 4:29 left in the game, it's going to be 10-10.
Right.
And you're not talking about any Stephon Gilmore
but
for
Skip,
MVP.
Instead of it going down as a catch, mm-hmm. it went as a pass defense.
Okay.
So it's a pass breakup.
Okay, so he really just had 2 because he was beaten on the play.
But
he was beaten.
That's the way it goes.
Okay. All right. But again, then the next play, he pulls off the interception. Or should I say, Jared Goff threw him the interception because
yeah.
Jared Goff had Daron Harmon right in his face, and he just threw it up for grabs to the point I believe I could have made that interception.
Yeah,
I believe
probably.
A lot of people could have because it just hung up in the air for nobody. Brandon
right.
Cooks didn't even look back for the ball, and Stephon Gilmore says, I got this. And it was a pretty simple interception.
Right.
You're right.
If he had pulled off the pivotal pick 6 that won the game, you got me.
Right.
But again, the 5 tackles, I'll bet 4 of them were on Brandon Cooks after he caught
yeah.
the ball.
But here's
right?
the thing. But here's the thing, though, Skip. Although Vaughn had, you know, 2.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. He had 2 forced fumbles.
Yep.
DeMarcus Ware had a couple of sacks. Malik Jackson had sacks
yeah.
also.
No,
so it wasn't like the defense, Boss Ward. He had a pick. A fumble recovery. So it wasn't like the defense played shabby, but I just think in a game of this magnitude, Skip, because you said it yourself, you said Edelman dropped the pass.
Mm-hmm, he did.
He had 7 catches for what, 90 yards in the first half?
93 in the first half. He caught 3 balls in the second half. Okay, so what happens in the MVP voting that offends me? Because I really care about who wins MVP of the Super Bowl. It's prestigious
it
to
is.
Me. It matters.
Yeah.
It lasts.
yeah.
I care to a fault about it. Some people say, what does it matter? No, it matters.
Right.
Do you realize 20% of the final voting comes from the fans?
Yeah.
And Jim Nantz announced going into the fourth quarter, polls are open. Who's your MVP?
Forgot about that.
The game is not remotely decided yet because it's, was it still 3-3
yeah.
at
yeah.
that point?
And the thing yeah. is, Skip, and the rules stipulate, as a voter, not the fans,
yeah.
you can vote. But if something transpires late in the ball game, you can change your vote.
As the media vote. There's the media 16 vote.
Right.
16.
So you can start voting in the fourth quarter.
But they're going to come ask you in the middle of the fourth quarter sometime. Where are you leaning?
Right.
Edelman.
Right.
And then you start typing your deadline game story, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know. I'll stick with Edelman. Right?
And wouldn't you think, with 4 minutes left in the ball game, a guy gets an interception that snuffs out a potential game-tying drive? Shouldn't that get some consideration, Skip? I mean, to not get any consideration, did an offensive player for the Patriots have a game? I'm talking about a game for the ages. Was it a last year's game, Skip? You can make a case. If Brady has that game last year, or Amendola, because they had three receivers, Hogan, Gronk, all these guys go over 100 yards. Was the game that outstanding from an offensive performance that no defensive player deserved a vote? Okay, you don't want to give it to him, but he can't get a vote?
Look, it's the first time I could go with you on the whole defense was the MVP of the game. Yep. And if you want to throw Belichick's plan in there, I'll give you that. I didn't see anything inventive, creative, new from Bill Belichick, but everybody played very well all night long.
Right.
All the cogs worked.
Right.
Nobody screwed it up. Right. Nobody blew an assignment except on the zone, right?
Right.
And yet, it was a dicey game all the way to the very end, but you can make that case. So, I'm going to make my case one more time. And nobody wants to hear this. Even Tom Brady doesn't want to hear this, but he pulled off the drive that won the game. That's why I said on Monday, he's up against Wade Phillips at his greatest. That was a great plan by Wade Phillips. Mm-hmm. He was shutting down Tom Brady in the way the Chargers and the Chiefs didn't remotely shut him down. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady was going up against Sue and Donald and Tlaib and Marcus Peters. There's firepower across the ball. And he finally cracked the code by throwing to Julian Edelman one time, Gronk twice, and Rex Burkhead once. Do you know the degree of difficulty? Those three guys, they're not enough.
Skip, you can't give the Super Bowl MVP to a guy that has a fumble, an interception, and is not his
accurate. Well, he didn't lose the fumble.
No, I'm just saying, Skip, you can't give a guy that doesn't have a touchdown passing the quarterback.
Okay, but the 29-yarder to Gronk is signature.
Yes.
And it's almost a touchdown. It set up a short touchdown run.
Right.
So that was good enough to me in a very close, low-scoring game that – If Tom Brady had been Tom Smith, I think the media would have voted for him.
No, I think there's backlash. Not with any touchdowns, because that interception, the first interception, was horrible. As good as the throw was, the interception was equally as bad.
That's his first pass of the game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First pass.
Wow.
Okay.
And the thing is, Skip, is that when you look at, like I said, when you get in a league, especially now, Skip, the way the league is set up for offenses to go up and down the field, and I'm surprised we didn't have more pass interference. I mean, they let them play.
For the most part,
they did let them play.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a performance like this to hold that offense, and that was what was so special about, you know, the first time they beat the Rams in 2001, Skip, is that the defense, the job that they did on Kurt Warner, MVP, the greatest show on turf, and you hold them to 20 points below their average. This time you hold a team to 30 points, and nobody even got consideration because a lot of people was thinking, well, Ty Law could have easily been the MVP.
He could
have. Or even Brable. And I'm sure they got a vote or two. But Tom, you know, with the drive, and he threw one touchdown.
Although, see, that was another one. He got it on the drive.
Right.
Because the rest of it was not much, right?
141.
Total yards.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure that Patriots defense gets the credit they deserve.
They deserve credit, but it was like a unit credit.
Yeah, and a collective unit, which is the point.
Is that for the entire – because when you look at the Ravens defense throughout the entirety of the year was unbelievable. The Bucs defense, we knew what Seattle represented, the Legion of Boom. I think this caught everybody by surprise because
by shock.
They never saw this type of performance the entire season.
Okay, the reason I told you I enjoyed the game, I was edge of seat, I didn't enjoy it, I was just riveted by it, is because I kept waiting for a shootout to break out because they were both shootout teams. They're high scoring, and I kept waiting for the dam to break either way, and it never broke.
I kind of thought it was going to be a Carolina Patriots game.
Yeah.
You remember, nothing in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden, nobody can stop anybody.
I've been avoiding saying this all week, but truly, defense wins championships, guys. I know we hear it all the time.
I've never heard that before. How did you come up with that?
But it makes so much sense.
Skip doesn't like defense. He like offense. He like all the
it's like
God
my dad ingrained that into my head forever, so I feel like that was for him. Okay, busy couple day. busy day coming up for the Lakers. Are they going to make some major moves? We'll see. Tomorrow's deadline is coming up. Chris Broussard answers all your questions next. No mercy. Aaron Rodgers is getting ready to start a season with a new head coach for the first time since he became the Packers' starting quarterback. But a number of his former teammates are worried about the relationship between Rodgers and new coach Matt LaFleur. Former tight end JerMichael Finley said Rodgers would often ignore Mike McCarthy's play calls, and he's likely to do the same thing with LaFleur. Former receiver Jeff Janis said that Rodgers is too negative to his teammates. We are joined by another former Packer, Greg Jennings. So, Greg, it makes a lot of sense to have you here for this discussion.
Does it?
Yes. I'm curious what you think. How will it work with Aaron and his new coach?
As I quote from Aaron Rodgers, change is tough at first, but it usually works out for the best. Change is going to be tough for Matt LaFleur. This is going to be tough for Matt LaFleur walking into it. And Aaron Rodgers is telling me everybody can say whatever they want to say, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. He's showing me exactly what he's doing and who he is. He's showing it to all of us. Has Aaron Rodgers reached out to Matt LaFleur? Have we heard that? Have we heard any reports on that?
I guess they talked once.
Have we heard any like embracement or endorsement of Matt LaFleur?
No.
No. Huh. At the NFL Honors, did we hear any conversation come out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth concerning his new head coach? No. What should we expect? Mm-hmm. He's making Matt LaFleur sweat. This is a sense of entitlement. This is who he is right out the door. You know what? Yeah, we have a change, and I wanted the change, but now I'm going to enter the change when I'm ready to enter the change. I'm going to embrace the change when I'm ready to embrace the change. It's going to be on my terms, basically what he's showing us. He hasn't said it. I'm not going to put those words in his mouth, but that's what he's showing us. I watched Zach Taylor get hired by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Who did we see in the locker room endorsing that head coach, embracing in that acknowledgement right away? Andy Dalton, the head coach, the quarterback, the face of the franchise.
That's interesting.
You endorse it when you want the change and when you're ready for change and when you're willing to accept and embrace change, you endorse it right away. You meet it right at the front door. Aaron Rodgers has yet to do that. Why? Does he really want change? Does he really want to be coached hard? I believe Aaron Rodgers wants to be great. I believe he is great, and I believe he wants to be challenged, but on his terms, the way he wants it. And what Matt LaFleur has done, he's put guys around him that he feels like he doesn't have to bear all the load with a Luke Getsky at quarterback coach who's been there before, who's coached the wide receivers with Nathaniel Hackett, who's offensive coordinator. Different faces, different voices that he can kind of whisper to. You got to have that when you're dealing with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, because you better believe he can't be the only voice that Aaron Rodgers hears, because that's going to wear thin real quick. So how is this going to work out? In the words of Aaron Rodgers, change is going to be tough at first.
But it might be tough for a long time.
It might be tough for a long time. Skip, we don't know. We don't know what the end is going to look like.
You don't want to defend your guy?
Nah, I ain't got no defense.
You got no defense?
No, Skip.
You've been shut down.
I said this years ago, and he got a little upset at me with what I had to say.
Really?
So, yeah, go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers got upset with you?
Yeah, because I read him from a distance.
Oh, wow.
Because I know. I've been.
What you know? What you know, Jeremy?
Yeah, I know. Tell us.
I know. He'll finger point. He'll blame her. And he and I would have had problems, because it's never his fault. He will say, "I've got to play better," because that's what a quarterback should say, but he doesn't believe it. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and John Elway will say, "I have to play better," and they sincerely know.
They believe.
I need to be better. I need to play better, because we can't be better. He's thin-skinned. He hears everything. And if you don't heap praise on him and constantly reassure him how great he is, it's going to be a problem. And that's the problem, Skip. I believe he's transcended. He's the greatest thrower of the football that I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of quarterbacks. But his personality would rub me the wrong way, and he and I would have huge problems.
I've told you from the start, you can't be transcendent if you don't have some leadership intangibles. and he's got low to no leadership intangibles. He wants to lead Aaron into State Farm commercials. That's how I know him the best. And I've said all these things from the start, and now I read them. What was in this piece in? Was this Wall
Forbes
Street Journal? Forbes. It was
Forbes.
In Forbes.
Forbes.
I read that JerMichael Finley said he had a rocky relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And then I go over here and I read that Kabir Bajabiamila says, actually, Brett Favre was more humble because Aaron turned out to be more on the arrogant side, says Bajabiamila. Okay, and then I get to Jeff Janis saying what I've talked to this man about from the start, and this man caught a whole bunch of balls from Aaron Rodgers, so he knows what of he speaks. Jeff Janis says that basically Aaron destroyed his confidence with his finger pointing in practice and sometimes in games, to where he started doubting himself and to where he was just a mess. He just said, he said positive reinforcement would have worked with me a lot better than negative.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Skip, you see it.
Okay.
I mean, he threw an incomplete pass, and he's talking about, no, you threw it in the dirt.
Okay, so I've always admired Greg Jennings because from the start on this show, Greg said, it can be tough. It can be a problem. Mm-hmm. But you rose above it because you were highly successful with him. But I'm sure there were days when you were saying, man, this is wearing me out, right?
Of
Some
course.
Practices, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know how much more of this I can take. But you were so talented that you just said, I'm better than this. I can rise above this. And you caught the throw of throws in the one Super Bowl Aaron Rodgers played in that broke the game open with the big post route touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, this is all that I thought he was from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And again, you can throw it all you want. Is Aaron Rodgers immensely more talented and gifted than Tom Brady? Sure he is.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady keeps taking these spare parts and saying, I love you, man. Let's throw in the offseason, man. Let's get this right. And he takes little Julian. Julian moved to L.A. his rookie year and moved in the offseason and just hung out throwing with Tom Brady.
You know what, Skip?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is way more talented than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But he's way less likable than Tom Brady.
Okay.
Because you know why? Guys want to play with Tom. Because you know what? He will accept responsibility.
He will.
If I play bad, my fault. Mm-hmm. I threw that one in the dirt, my fault.
Yep.
Not you should have shortened that route. No, hold on, wait a minute. The route calls for me to go to 8 to 10.
Yeah.
I went 8 to 10. Don't tell me I should have gone to 6 yards when you threw the ball in the dirt. Accept some responsibility.
Right.
That's
okay.
Why, Skip,
so.
I said this. One of the greatest things that happened to me is that I played with John. And even if I ran the wrong route, he never showed me up in public.
Mm-mm.
He would get me behind closed doors and say, this is what I need you to do, and this is how I need you to
do
it.
He also positively reinforced
Yes!
You. He said, you can be great.
Yes! Yes! And it was, and I knew there were times that, you know, he messed up. I would say, my fault, John. Knew he threw, he threw it over my head.
Yeah.
Or he short-hopped it to me.
Yeah.
My bad, bro.
But because
I got
built
the next
trust
one.
Between
yes!
each other. I get that.
And you're not finna point, hey, don't you ever, I don't care. Don't you show me up in public,
because
you're not going to like my response.
So here comes Matt LaFleur, having played quarterback at Saginaw Valley State.
Oh,
he's been
goodness.
2 years a coordinator in the National Football League, one under Sean McVay. That doesn't count, because Sean McVay is the offensive.
Western Michigan guy.
Western Michigan for a while.
Like, treat my guy right, A-Rod.
Then last year he coordinated Tennessee, which finished 27th in scoring. Really? And Aaron's going to say, wow, great to have you.
Well, we're going to be waiting for that, for Aaron Rodgers to say something now. I'm going to be watching for it, Greg. Thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
Shannon, hate to remind you, but the Lakers were embarrassed by 42 last night in Indiana.
42?
And now all the focus is what moves they will make before tomorrow's trade deadline. They're in talks with the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, but for now, New Orleans isn't budging. Woj reports the Lakers are waiting for a counteroffer on a deal that reportedly includes Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and some other assets. So we are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. It's
Welcome
good to have
back.
You back with us.
Great to be back.
Good time to come back. I'd say there's
yes.
a lot going on here. So
yes.
what do you think is going to happen with the Lakers before this deadline?
Nothing.
Seriously?
Magic's waiting on the – you're going to be waiting a long time for Dell Demps to call you back. There is no – this is not something the Pelicans are thinking about, considering, mulling over. Nothing. They are not giving Anthony Davis to the Lakers by tomorrow. No way. It's not happening. First of all, it doesn't make basketball sense. Boston, who some think may be able to make a better offer, some disagree. But why would I do this trade before Boston can get involved?
New York, if they get the first or second pick, maybe they're willing to give me that for, and if that's Zion, who everybody in the league I've talked to loves, and even if we're not sure how great he's going to be, he will put fannies in the seats.
Right.
So if I can get potentially Zion, why would I even make a move before those things can be considered?
If I'm like the Knicks, in May, why would I trade Zion? Because I need fannies in my seats.
Well, if I'm the Knicks and I can get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they say, look, we want to go for it now. Let's go get AD. So I'm not saying the Knicks would definitely do it, but that's something I think they consider.
I would keep Zion with, if I got Kevin and Kyrie, those two, I would.
No,
I
and maybe they would, yeah. But I'm just saying, let's see if they do.
Okay.
Like, let's wait till May when the draft lottery happens and then see what those picks are that Boston had, you know, with Memphis and all these extra picks they have. See what those are and see what they bring to the table. I also know that New Orleans likes Jason Tatum better than anybody on the Lakers roster. So let's see if he's involved.
Well, that's fair. I mean,
right. And you know, Skip, Dell Demps is from the San Antonio tree.
He is.
So we know, like, Popovich sent Kawhi to Toronto, was not going to send him to L.A. under any circumstances. I think Dell feels the same way. And they also are like, look, the Lakers are offering everybody except LeBron. That's a 35-win team. That's a team that was 6-12 without LeBron this year.
Well,
I want that if I'm
New Orleans? You a 20-win team with AD. So what are you?
No, I get that, but I'm as good as the Lakers. Like, why would I want to bring in all that stuff to be mediocre?
But here's the thing, though. Who's to say that Dell Demps is going to be the one that makes this trade come offseason?
It's possible he will. Look, I'm told there are executives, because you know how it works. He talks to people around the league. There's guys that advise him, guys that he came up under. From what I'm told, they're all advising him, do not do this before the deadline. He would look spineless. It would look like the Lakers just came in and snatched your guy. Like, just out of principle, I wouldn't. I mean, you talk to Magic out of respect for him, but I wouldn't even be considering this. And from what I'm told, they're not.
So it's going to be like what Danny Ainge did to Brooklyn, huh? So it's going to be a situation like that because Danny Ainge is going to rake him across the coals.
Look, Danny Ainge is not going to win every single trade. And if I can get Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and some of those draft picks, and obviously a few other players,
well, the draft picks are not gonna,
then
the
I'll
only,
do that.
The only draft pick going to be worth something is Memphis because Sacramento is winning too much, and the Clippers have tanked, so they're going to be able to keep their pick.
Yeah, but still, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, the Lakers pick going to be worth anything?
It looked like it might be worth. It might be worth more than those other guys.
Nah, and if I'm New Orleans, even if I like the Lakers deal, which I don't think they necessarily do, I can get that in the summer. Let me see if Boston steps away, because Kyrie leaves or whatever. If New York steps away and doesn't give me the number one or number two pick, I can then re-engage the Lakers. And all this talk about the Lakers won't be desperate. They will. Because LeBron's going to be as impatient as ever. He's not going to, in his 17th year, sit through another season of mediocrity where he has no chance to win the title. He's not doing that. He's going to say, go get AD, whatever it takes.
You going to let me go? Because I got a lot to say.
Go ahead.
You got it.
I disagreed with almost every point that you made. I think you are missing all the big picture points here. Let's start with the Luke factor. You say all this stuff that the Lakers are offering, it is star quality stuff. I think Lonzo is going to be a star if he can find the right fit. I think, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes here about the LeVar factor,
sure,
and talk about Luke. But I think Luke has made it hard on all these kids to be themselves. He's trying to teach them hard lessons. And if they get out from under Luke, I think you're going to see star quality rise. And if you throw in Big Zoo in there, and my man Shannon loves him some Big Zoo, he can be a starting center. I'm not saying he's got star quality, but he can be a starting five in this league for a good basketball team.
He can be a 12-8 guy. Yep. You don't believe he can be 12-8?
It's not a bunch of stuff. This isn't a good offer. This is a great offer. And I don't know how many picks you could get. Shannon says two. If it's two picks,
two first rounds,
one pick, whatever it is, this isn't good. It is great. And what's going to happen is that your man, Rich Paul, is going to make it real clear that Anthony is a one-year rental for anybody else. So that market in the summer could cool rapidly on Anthony. And all of a sudden, Magic's going to sit back, and he's a shrewd operator, and he's going to say, aha, you have lost your leverage. Right now, you've got all the leverage. It's all New Orleans all the time. So Dell's got it all. And you know the Bible very well. It says pride goeth before the fall. This is all about foolish pride to me. It's stubborn pride or foolish. Like, how dare you and all of his compatriots around the league. Don't let LeBron do this to you. Yeah, I'm going to dig in. At what cost? At what cost? Because this is a lot of firepower sitting on your table right now.
Why, Skip, if they're so good? And I've said I like what LeBron has around him better than what he had last year in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But why have they been 6-12 without him? Is that all Luke?
Yes.
So last year was 35.
And by the way, they lost Lonzo, and Lonzo was. Did you see them at Oklahoma City? Did you see what they did to the Thunder when the Thunder were riding high? Did you see what they were doing to Houston?
I've seen them have ups and downs. Like, I've seen them beat. I mean, but this is the NBA. I mean, teams, you know, Golden State has lost to bad teams. Oklahoma's lost to bad teams. And, you know, then the Lakers have lost to terrible teams. So it just goes.
Do you believe Alvin Gentry is a better coach than Luke Walton?
Alvin can coach offense. Defense, I'm a fan. Not defense at all.
I'm a fan.
Because I actually think New Orleans should be better than they are. They got decent. Now, I know they've had injuries. That's been their problem the whole time. Last 7 years or so, they've had injuries. But I think that Alvin's good offensively, not defensively.
Okay.
And I think Lonzo would be good there.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get into LeVar's.
We're going to get into that. So you're going 0% chance of trade. You're down to 20%.
I'm going 20.
And I'm hanging in. I was 75. Now I'm down to 60 because of the LeVar factor.
You really think that they why would New Orleans do it?
Because they're stuck with such a sorry eyesore of a situation. And Gail Benson, who's just recently sort of inherited this team, she's going to sit back at some point and say, wait a second. We're going to have to put Anthony down. What's he make a year? 35?
Yeah, he'll be, yeah.
Okay. 20-something. We're going to put him on mothballs the rest of the year and have to take the publicity beating of we've got Anthony Davis and we're not even playing him the rest of the year?
I wouldn't mind if they sent him home.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, that's where it's
like, our morale's going to be low if you're there.
I'm the Players Association, I'm going to fight this. Because a player just can't go home alone if he doesn't want to trade. If I want to trade and you want to trade me, do I get to go home?
Then benching.
No,
he's not a part of my future anymore.
Well, hold on. I'm a player.
It doesn't look good right now.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm injured right now. What's the lady's name? Roberts?
Yeah,
Michelle Roberts. Oh, Michelle Roberts. Oh, she gonna clown.
It's messy.
We'll see.
Yeah,
it's messy. It has. And here's where I disagree, Skip. In the summer, I don't think the Lakers will have the leverage. Mm. He's got another year left on his deal. That's the challenge. It's not like he's a free agent this summer.
Okay.
And again, LeBron, they're not getting KD. They're not getting Kyrie. They're not getting Klay.
But they're going to have to unload him by the summer because it's a mess. We just talked about it. What are you going to do?
You going to put him on ice again?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll change his mind. The leverage as the Pelicans. Yes. Anthony Davis has no leverage.
But that's what they're counting on. They're counting on that Anthony Davis is changing his mind.
Yep.
And you and I both know he's not changing his mind.
Danny Ainge will do that, which I don't think he should. If Kyrie leaves Boston, think Danny Ainge should do the deal. Okay. But I think he would. I think Danny Ainge still would probably do it, even if Kyrie's gone.
So you know why I'm going 60%? Because of your man, LeBron James. He is the most powerful man in this league. I can make a case he's the most powerful man in sports, right?
What can he do with this?
We're going to make a power move.
The commissioner will get involved.
Yeah.
Gail Benson's been talking to Adam Silver. Adam's going to say, you know what? Yeah. I would go ahead and do this. Would it be good for the league to have Anthony with LeBron?
Oh, look, yes. I'd love to see him there.
Yes.
As much as I'd like to see it happen tomorrow, because you're right, it'd be great for the league.
It would be.
Hey,
I just...
I'm gonna need you to pray on that.
Really?
I'm gonna need you to pray on that, Chris.
I'd love to see it. It'd be great for the league, but there's no way.
I'm a zero.
I'm a zero.
I'm 20.
I was 51.
Now, in the summer, I think they could do it in the summer. No
mercy. Well, as we've been talking about, the Lakers are going all out to land Anthony Davis, and Lonzo Ball is one of the names that would reportedly go to New Orleans. Well, that doesn't sit well with Dad, LeVar, who says he doesn't want Lonzo in New Orleans and added that Phoenix is the best fit. LeVar even ripped Luke Walton and Anthony Davis. Let's hear it from him.
Luke Walton was the worst coach he ever had. It was Magic the one who said he was going to be the face of the dang franchise, but Magic ain't doing no coaching. So the only person to kill Lonzo is the coach pulling him out and not having no confidence in him. Everybody who had confidence in Lonzo just let him go and let him win. That's what he does. He wins. Luke Walton turned him into the loser's mentality. Is like, oh, he's young, he'll get it, instead of going out there and just letting him do what he does. The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude. AD is good.
Yeah,
when
he's
not a winner, how many playoff games he won? He's been in the league for a long time. It's the difference between players and winners.
Oh, LeVar. Okay. We are back with Chris Broussard. You were right about that. He had plenty to say. When you think about those comments, do you have a problem with it?
I do. I think he's wrong. I think Luke, and you talked about Luke last segment, I think Luke is the easy scapegoat because everybody knows he's not Magic and Pelinka's guy. So it's easy to go after him, and we know he will be the scapegoat if they – I don't think he'll be there next year.
Right.
You know, unless something dramatic happens.
I
was going to say, I'm not sure he's going to make it through the All-Star break.
You're right. The way things are going, that might be the case. But I don't think Luke is – I'm not saying he's Red Auerbach or Phil Jackson, but I don't think he's the problem. Especially with Lonzo. Is it Luke's fault that Lonzo's shooting 41% from the foul line? Is it Luke's fault that Lonzo's motor goes up and down like a seesaw? Sometimes he's got it, sometimes he doesn't. Is it Luke's fault that Lonzo's not aggressive?
Yes, that's Luke's fault. Go ahead.
Okay. Is it Luke's fault that Lonzo's not aggressive all the time?
Yes.
No.
I think it's just his personality. I think it's the way he plays. And LeVar says, you know, Luke had him on the corner and all that. That's not Luke's fault. I guess you could say because he's the head coach, but that's LeBron. Because of the way LeBron plays and has the ball in his hands, what's Lonzo going to do? Rondo's in the corner too when LeBron has the ball. So that's just because LeBron's game. So, look, I just think this is way off base. And then for LeVar to say he doesn't want him in New Orleans, Elfrid Payton? You afraid to compete with Elfrid Payton?
Totally agree.
Frank Jackson?
No.
Drew Holiday's a two-guard.
Totally agree.
You know, like,
totally
Rondo agree. And Drew were a nice match.
They were
I think Lonzo
match.
And Drew would be a good match.
A good match.
Right. And Alvin like Gentry, for all his warts, he's a good offensive coach.
And he's easy to – I like him.
Yeah.
I like
good man. He's a really good man. Yeah. So I think that would be a good place. Yeah. Now, Phoenix would be fine, too. But I think New Orleans would actually be good for LeVar. So to hear him – come out and say he doesn't want him there.
Somebody don't want their son to compete. Somebody want him to just turn over the reins to him and let,
right.
like Luke Walton, hey, Luke, just turn over, let my boy do what he does. Nah, that's not how we do things here. Mm. This ain't AAU. This is not, you're not coaching this team. And that's what he's used to, Skip. I have a problem with these comments. And for him to say Anthony Davis isn't a winner, well, maybe Anthony Davis haven't won at the big level, hadn't won, gone to a Western Conference Finals or an NBA Finals. But Anthony Davis hung a banner in Kentucky. Last I checked, they don't hang Sweet 16 banners at UCLA, given their storied history. Hmm. So all this notion that Lonzo Ball, all he does is wins, that's not true.
Did he win at Kentucky his 1 year at UCLA?
Who?
Lonzo.
He went to the Sweet 16.
No, they won at Kentucky in the regular season. They went there and beat him in their own building.
Anthony Davis.
That works.
Anthony Davis was player of the year and won a title.
He did.
A national title.
Yep.
And last year, you're right, he hadn't won at a high level in the NBA, but they did beat a good Portland team in the playoffs.
Swept them. The 3-6 matchup, and they swept them.
I do think AD is, he's got the game of a number one guy. But at least right now, he's the personality of a number two guy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do think he'd be a great fit with LeBron.
Perfect. Yeah.
And maybe you can learn from LeBron and become that number one guy. Because AD is not blameless in this. Like, what 23 and 30 or whatever they are?
He's 13th
in the West.
And he's 29 and 13.
Yeah, his numbers are great. But I'm saying being 13th in the West, some of that has to fall on him.
Oh, absolutely.
He has to get some blame for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What have I said from the start? He's not an alpha. He doesn't – he's not a team carrier. Right. He doesn't have that LeBron thing where he can just take over a game. He just can't do that.
Skip, there's always been a handful of those guys.
He might be the only star who is willing – to be the sidekick to LeBron James. And Anthony's a superstar. He might be the only one, because the rest of them, they don't love all the drama king stuff, all the stuff we saw last night.
Yeah.
They're all not sure about it, but Anthony,
wants it because Anthony knows in his heart of hearts, plus he loves LeBron, and he's obviously a client of Clutch, mm-hmm. but he knows in his heart of hearts he needs LeBron even more than LeBron needs him. This would be great. So he did something that was completely against his nature. He went public with this.
It is against his nature, you can see.
It tore him apart, and I'm sure he's just hating this right now because he's living in misery and what's left of his career in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He's got to ride it out. And I think he's really, he's kept his head high, and he keeps showing up every night until they finally just sent him home, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did he have to do? He had to burn the bridge to the ground between his team and his city, right?
Right.
And what did LeBron have to do? He had to burn his bridge to his own locker room. That's why his locker room just quit on him last night. And finally, at the end of the game, it's why LeBron said, well, if you're going to quit on me, I'm going to go sit in the last seat on the bench. You know, I don't even want to associate with you guys, right?
He should have went to the locker room. He should have went to the locker room and got treatment.
Yeah. So now back to LeVar. I agree with what he was saying about Luke Walton, and I know it comes off as extreme, but I believe that from the start, as LeVar said, Magic handpicked Lonzo Ball with the second pick and said publicly he will be the face of our franchise, said publicly that his banner will be hung one day in this Staples Arena, right? Mm-hmm. And did Lonzo not back him up immediately by going to the Summer League and winning the MVP? He did.
But Summer League.
Okay, but he did that. You got to give him that. And all of a sudden, Luke steps in and says, time out. Do you know who I am? Do you know who my father was? My father's way better than your father. My father's one of the greatest players ever, and he was one of the greatest ever.
But
Bill Walton.
But Lonzo is not blameless in this either.
Okay, wait a second. I'm with you on that. But Luke is saying to Lonzo from the start, do you know what I have done in this league? Do you realize I have two rings and I played in four finals? Do you realize I helped coach Golden State to two finals and we won one of those finals? And he immediately, I came in here and I was banging on the table right away from game one. He would start Lonzo because he was probably forced to by management. And he would yank him at the four-minute mark, 4 minutes into the first quarter.
Right.
And then he would sit him for a whole quarter. This went on the whole year last year. And I could see Lonzo just shut it down on him. Is Lonzo Ball a spoiled brat of a kid because he got coddled at every level up? Yes. Spoiled brat. I don't like that. It made him soft. LeVar helped make him soft because he didn't hold his feet to the fire enough, right?
Right.
He let him have his head because the kid is gifted. I don't care what you say. He's got star written all over him.
For me, I think there was unrealistic expectations because of some of the things that his father said.
Right.
When he says he's better than Steph or he's better than this guy, and these guys are proven guys, the expectation level is the same thing with Zion Williamson.
Okay.
Because they say he's better than LeBron.
I got you. Yet all of a sudden, to me, this whole trade now hinges on Lonzo Ball. He's the key piece. I'm reading early on, maybe you've heard other things, but that they really loved Lonzo from the start until LeVar started getting involved saying, I don't want Lonzo in New Orleans. Well, if you're Dell Demps and you're thinking right now, I don't want the circus. I don't want the LeVar circus,
Dell
number
says,
one.
We don't want you in New Orleans. Yeah. We want Lonzo. We don't want you.
What if I go ahead and do this deal and all of a sudden Lonzo comes to New Orleans and says, I don't want to play here.
Well, look, that's the thing. Yeah. The Lakers with Magic, LeBron, they have the structure to muzzle LeVar.
Yeah, they do.
And now he's talking because he sees it all falling apart.
But let me ask you a question.
New Orleans will not have that. LeVar will be down there at every game, front row.
You think he'll be doing whatever that far Chris, away at every game? I don't
Chris,
know.
Let me ask you a question, though, Chris. He's saying all this, anticipating the trade happening. What happens if the trade doesn't happen?
And it's not. It's not going to happen.
And now what?
Yeah, you're right.
This is going to be that. This season, again, I don't think the trade's happening at all. And so what's the rest of this season going to look like?
Okay, well, you realize that LeBron James has basically said to the whole locker room, I don't want any of you all. I want Anthony Davis at the expense of all you guys. Yep. You can have all you guys, right?
That's what it's been. Everybody's available. Yeah.
Everybody.
Yep. Everybody.
So what if you're stuck with each other for the rest of this year? Ooh. Can you get it back together?
Look, obviously, what the young guys have to, and I get it, it's tough. If I was sitting up here and I knew you really wanted Brian Windhorst instead of me, you know, or Stephen A. instead of Skip, or
like
Shannon, or something.
More people than you.
Right. No, yeah.
Those are interesting ideas.
Oh, really? Okay, now the truth comes out.
Wait, is that really on the table?
Not just one for one.
Do I have until 3 Eastern?
You know what I'm saying, Chris? That's what I'm talking about.
But you know, that's tough. As a human being, that'd be tough to deal with.
We all want to be one.
But it's a league. It's a real league. Mm. It's the real world. And this is something these, and that's what I'm sure LeBron, I don't know if he'll tell them this, but that's part what he's thinking in his mind. Look, this is the real deal, man. It's a business.
Right. It is.
And if they are so mentally soft that they're going to fold, because even if they just quit on LeBron or the team, or if they fold and just can't bring it mentally, that's a problem.
Yeah. Mm.
I know it's tough. He's the best player in the world, and he wants somebody else, but they're going to have to play through it. Because they're going to get blamed. LeBron's not going to get blamed. They're going to get blamed.
I got the best team right here.
You do.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
You do. You got a bad team, man. You know
I'm going to let that deadline come and go.
I was now getting worried about it. Yeah. Trade deadlines all
That's
around.
That's good. That's good
You're
to hear.
You're safe, Chris could have me. You'll be welcome back anytime.
He would try to trade me, his sneaker collection.
You're not trading anyone. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We're back same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you guys then.
Fox Sports. One of one.